BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And welcome to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, beginning with Mother's Day weekend, pro-life organizations and churches have come under attack by those engaged in extreme violence. Violence because, well, there are states that are forbidding the killing of children in the womb. What's amazing to see are acts being perpetrated in states that even allow the child killing to take place, like in Illinois, California, New York, Washington, D.C. I mean, we've interviewed Jelaine Appling from Wisconsin Family Action for that Mother's Day attack, and in just 2 months' time, over 70 such attacks have now taken place. I mean, we're talking firebombs, fires, vandalism, and threats, which are continuing. Threats and intimidation are taking place against the constitutional justices on the nation's highest court, with applause coming from the White House. Leftist politicians are doing whatever possible to fan the flames to keep a spirit of, well, I call it a spirit of anarchy, ever present in our society. Where is the Department of Justice in all of this? Where are the district attorneys and attorney generals? Why are people not being held accountable for their actions, especially in light of how aggressive and how inhumane they've treated individuals locked up since January 6 of 2020? Is there a double standard? Our guest today represents an organization which was also firebombed in New York, who have comments to share on these and other issues. We welcome to Crosstalk Pastor Jim Hardin, the president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York. Jim pioneered the first measurable and repeatable medical model in the pregnancy center movement, helping over 650 centers nationwide become more effective at reaching more women and saving more babies from abortion. He's written extensively on medical ethics and executive leadership and pro-life strategy. Pastor Jim, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
It's an honor to be with you today, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Indeed. Well, let's begin by getting the word about Compass Care. Describe the mission of your centers in Buffalo and Rochester, New York.
Sure. Compass Care's mission is that we're a Christ-centered agency dedicated to empowering men and women to erase the need for abortion by transforming their fear into confidence. And we say erase the need for abortion because we don't believe there's a philosophical need for abortion, but because when a woman comes to see us, when she's facing an unplanned pregnancy, she says, I'm stuck, I'm trapped, I've got no other choice, I need to have an abortion. And so our job is to come alongside her and give her all the ethical medical care and comprehensive community support that she needs throughout the pregnancy and beyond in order to give her a vision of her future after having had a child. And giving her the power to say no to an abortion, because it's her circumstances that are coercing her to make a decision that she would not normally want to make in other circumstances. Not a sane woman alive actually wants to have an abortion. She feels trapped.
So you're there to help women. I mean, that's what you're doing there.
That's exactly what we do. We provide for the unmet health and resource needs of women facing unplanned pregnancy, and that's not what abortionists do. Abortionists only do one thing. They only provide one service, and that's abortion. And what does abortion represent? Abandonment. It's just give us this money, we'll get rid of the baby, and you go along your way. It's isolation. It's lonely. It's demoralizing, and it takes a community to support a woman with everything that she needs throughout her pregnancy and beyond. And that takes sacrifice, and that takes the church. It takes the people of God, and it's hard work. And it's all being done for free every day all across this country. And that's what needs to continue to happen. And yet, we're being attacked for it.
Yeah. Well, just a month ago, violence was unleashed against your Buffalo facility. So describe for us what occurred there.
Yeah. Well, let me back up 2 weeks. We were attacked on June 7th.
Okay.
2 weeks before that, we were seeing Jane's Revenge, the domestic terrorist, pro-abortion terrorist group, encouraging their cell groups into violence. And we were seeing some of that happening in our Buffalo area against us in our medical center there. And so we reported it to the FBI and the local police 2 weeks in advance. So on June 7th, I got a call at 2:30 in the morning from our regional executive out there. And he said, smoke alarms are going off. I got to go to the office. I said, well, let me know when you get there. When he got there, the police and fire rescue had already arrived, and they found all the windows broken and fires lit in the middle of the night. And the damage was catastrophic. It's going to take many weeks and hundreds of thousands of dollars to repair. And a signature kind of graffiti scrawl on the side of the building for Jane's Revenge read, "Jane was here."
Mm-hmm.
A couple days later, they took responsibility in the second communique for that firebombing. And they said, next time that it's not going to be so easily cleaned up as fire and graffiti. And they declared open season. That's their words, open season on pregnancy centers. And there have been no arrests, and there have been no reports by law enforcement after over 70 attacks, as you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And we're soldiering on, though. We continue to serve patients the very next day. The generosity of the church in Buffalo would not have Compass Care homeless. And, you know, this is too important. Women are in crisis, and we're not going to let our crisis keep us from serving her in her crisis. So we were up and running the very next day, and Jane's Revenge was not successful. They wanted to shut us down. They said, shut down. You got 30 days to shut down, but we didn't. We kept serving patients, and that's where we are. We're still serving patients in an undisclosed location.
Well, and you aptly point out, I mean, your center's not been alone. Over 70 centers or churches have been targeted since the opinion was first leaked from the Supreme Court. And there's no let up in sight with all of this. And I know I review a lot of news, but I am not seeing arrests being made anywhere by the Department of Justice or local law enforcement. I haven't seen any aggressive detective work going on to arrest and hold accountable the perpetrators. Am I missing something?
No, you're not missing anything. That's exactly what we're experiencing. No reports, no arrests. When I was standing outside of our facility on June 7th at a press conference, all the press was there, I pointed back to the burned out facility and I said, that's the face of the abortion industry right there. That this is the pro-abortion Kristallnacht. And what I meant by that is that, as you know, Kristallnacht in German means broken glass at night. And that event was an event in 1938 Germany where violence tipped into the Jewish community. What happened was the brown shirts targeted the Jewish-owned businesses for attack, broke the glass, went out in the middle of the night, broke the glass in the windows, and set fire to these businesses. And it tipped, the violence tipped into the community for two reasons. Number one, a lack of public outcry against the violence. And do you hear anything in the mainstream media about this? No. And number two, a refusal on the part of the political elite to criminalize and denounce the violence. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. And in fact, they're not only refusing to criminalize the violence and you know, go after these people. What they're doing is they're joining the fray. They're actually attacking pregnancy centers too. They're trying to restrict our freedom of speech. They're trying to wipe us off of Google Maps. This is Elizabeth Warren is doing it. Letitia James, Attorney General of New York, is doing it. New York Governor Hochul, 6 days after we were firebombed, went out and signed a bill investigating not the arsonists, but pregnancy centers, us, the ones that were victimized by the firebombing. And then while she was at the press conference signing this bill, she called us subhuman. She called us Neanderthals. I mean, it's something out of a dystopian novel.
You know, it is amazing, folks, and a little bit later I'm going to give you some quotes from the leader of this movement now in eternity, Margaret Sanger, and calling them Neanderthal, non-humans. I mean, it's amazing the correlations taking place there. But don't you think, Jim, if these were abortion centers that were being targeted, don't you think there'd be a different level of law enforcement from the DOJ on down to the local offices? President Biden would be calling press conferences to bring this to an end?
Jim, I can only speculate, but if past performance is any indicator of future performance, yes, there would be definitely a major difference in their response.
Mm-hmm. The FBI is known for doing their infiltration and perhaps even provoking in different matters. You would think that the FBI would not be held clueless as to what's going on. I mean, some have called this domestic terrorism. Do you believe it rises to that level?
This is absolutely domestic terrorism. There is no question about it. We've got a concerted effort, a conspiracy to target a specific group of people for what they believe, to keep them from behaving in ways that are consistent with their beliefs. They're targeting pro-life people, Christian pro-life people, and trying to get them to stop acting in ways that are consistent with our beliefs. They're trying to get us to shut us down, and they're using fear and violence to do that. That is, and they're coordinating cell groups all across the country to get the job done. That is classic domestic terrorism, and so it needs to be investigated proactively by attorneys general all across this country, as well as Attorney General Merrick. And if he's Merrick Garland, and if he's not going to do it, he needs to get out of the way and let somebody that was willing to do the job. That look, law enforcement it needs to enforce the law equally, not just enforce the law for people that happen to agree with their political ideology.
You know, what's interesting is that far-left groups at the same time have actually put a bounty on the public sightings of the constitutional justices, giving $50 bounty for the names of restaurants where they're having dinner, and $200 if they're still there a half hour after the initial tip. I mean, these individuals are actually promising to Venmo money for confirmed sightings. I mean, how outrageous.
Well, it's a cowardly act, and these people are bullies, and it's going to take a lot of endurance and courage to continue to hold fast to what we believe in the coming days. These moments are what faith is for. You know, Jesus basically told us we're gonna face difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're no better than our master, right? He faced the crucifixion for the sake of our salvation. And so too, we must endure. We must follow the kingdom principles and endure for the truth's sake, for Jesus' sake, you know, for the life of the world, for the life of children, for the life of mothers, and for the truth in America. The Dobbs reversal was a wonderful, wonderful turn of events. Many people thought it would never happen. Many people thought, oh, Roe will never be reversed. But this is an opportunity to raise the awareness in our country about what it means to be human under God. What is abortion but simply a misunderstanding about what it means to be human under God? You know, Roe said the word person does not apply to the unborn. But Dobbs came out and said that the Roe decision was egregiously wrong on that point. And as Christians, we believe that all people are made in the image of God and deserving of blessing and protection from the womb to the tomb without partiality. Because the Bible says, look, the opposite of love is not hate. If you look in the book of James, it says the opposite of love is partiality. It's me playing God, getting to decide who qualifies for my favor and who does not. Who qualifies as a person under the law and who does not. And seven justices in the Supreme Court in 1973 said the word person does not apply to the unborn. Well, if the government misses their primary job to protect all people, they miss the whole point of government.
Indeed, indeed. Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Pastor Jim Hardin is with us today, president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Centers, based in New York. And yes, they were one of those that were firebombed as well by those claiming to be part of Jane's Revenge. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to learn more about the group Jane's Revenge, and also about Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, and also we're going to be interacting as to what you can do, how people across this nation can be engaged, take a stand for life, to be salt and to be light in this world in which we live. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how did Darwin come up with the idea of evolution?
Chris, Charles Darwin was actually preparing to be a pastor. His real interest, however, was in the study of nature. Sometimes school kids are taught that Darwin was a believer in creation until he went to the Galapagos and saw that the facts of nature pointed otherwise. This is not true. Darwin's grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, was a renowned scientist and poet back in the 1700s. He was also a vicious anti-Christian. In 1770, he began to promote evolutionary ideas. When Charles Darwin wrote his book Origin of Species, he repeated the main examples of evolution used by his grandfather. He rejected scripture in favor of his grandfather's evolutionary ideas, and thereby affected the whole Western world. How much better if he had gone back to Genesis and seen the truth that's recorded there.
Thanks, Dr. John.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and ladies and gentlemen, the battle for life continues. As we said, when the Roe v. Wade was overturned, it doesn't stop here, but folks, the battle does continue, and we're speaking today with Pastor Jim Hardin, president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York. And Pastor Jim, you mentioned that the graffiti left behind, Jane was here. What do we know about Jane's Revenge? What have we learned in the past couple of months?
Well, Jane's Revenge refers to an underground abortion network in the 1960s out of Chicago called the Jane's Collective. And they would basically provide abortions to women in people's houses and before it was legal in this country and in Illinois as well. So that's Jane's Revenge refers to that moment or that kind of historical underground operation. And so their whole point of Jane's Revenge is to their motto is that if abortion isn't safe, then neither are you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've been using force, intimidation, threats and violence to keep pro-life organizations and people from continuing to provide services to women in dire need. But no one has stopped. No pro-life organization, to my knowledge, has suspended services or stopped their services. So Jane's Revenge continues their kind of nights of rage, but we're not stopping.
You know, there's something very interesting because you have no doubt heard from abortion centers that they have claimed that, well, only 3% of our services are for abortion. I mean, at 97% we're doing all these other things. My question then is, if indeed abortion is only 3% of their services, why are we seeing so many Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics shutting down across this nation?
Well, the reason why, Jim, is because they lie. The abortion industry, if the abortion industry is willing to kill children, then lies are no big deal to them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know that sounds harsh, but we've known all along that Planned Parenthood and other abortionists, they're only there to do abortions. It's a cash intense business for them. It's in a $1 billion industry, and it changed overnight on June 24th with the Dobbs case, coming out. It would be similar to the government coming to the Ford Motor Company and saying, hey, you can no longer have dealerships in 30 states. Well, that would be an existential threat to the business model of the Ford Motor Company. And that's exactly what happened to the abortion business. Now you've got this hub and spoke model. Women are going to have to travel to the abortion hub states like New York and California to get their abortions or get dangerous chemical abortions sent to them in the mail. These chemical abortions are now over 50% of all abortions in America and are 400% more dangerous, four times more dangerous than surgical abortion. And yet, the abortion industry is touting them as safer than Tylenol. This is mass consumer fraud, and this is the face of the abortion industry. And they're calling us fraudulent. They're calling us, these pro-abortion politicians are attacking us for fraudulent practices. Well, we're the ones providing informed consent. We're the ones helping women facing unplanned pregnancy to understand her particular condition and how abortion would impact her. That's what medicine is supposed to do.
So when you say these abortion drugs are so much more dangerous, you're referring to not just the killing of the unborn child themselves, but also the harm to the woman that's taking the drugs.
Exactly right. Well, these dangerous drugs cause sepsis. They cause hemorrhaging. They because women are not diagnosed, their pregnancy is not diagnosed. Exacerbates ectopic pregnancies, which can cause death. If a woman tests positive, if she's Rh negative and she doesn't know, harms her ability to have children in the future. I mean, it devastates women's reproductive health, and they're wanting to sell this stuff over the counter.
Wow. I'd like to also, this is something the media does not like talking about, but when you take into account the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, who said in 1947, but from my view, there should be no more babies. In 1920, she wrote, the most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. In 1957, in an interview with Mike Wallace, she said, "I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world and have disease from their parents that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically delinquents, prisoners of all sorts, and things just marked when they're born. That, to me, is the greatest sin that people can commit." And then she advocated for permits for parenthood, and then only one permit to be issued. She spoke before the Ku Klux Klan, and in a letter in 1939 to Dr. Clarence Gamble, she wrote this, quote, "We don't want the world to go out, we don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population," end of quote. Jim, where's the national media in all of this? Why aren't they calling this out? Why are they not exposing these things here to let the people know what's really behind the abortion movement? I mean, it's really a eugenics movement.
It is. It is a eugenics movement. And, you know, she was friends with Adolf Hitler. It's been documented. So, you know, she was born just south of where I'm standing right now in New York, in Corning, New York. The birthplace of the abortion movement is right here in New York, where the first freestanding abortion clinic started right here in the Rochester Syracuse region. Planned Parenthood, their founder was a eugenicist who was insistent on destroying the black community. And guess where all the Planned Parenthoods are located?
Yeah.
Right in the minority communities.
Yeah.
Guess who their primary, you know, the black community bears the brunt of most of the abortions in America, and yet they only represent, what, 15% of the population? You know, Margaret Sanger did a very evil thing, and people don't know about it, and I'm glad you're saying it.
Well, one of the complaints that is made by those who are perpetrators of abortion, they will say, well, who will help the women? Who's going to care for their needs? Who's going to help them in times of poverty? Who's going to care for these kids? And yet, what's so ironic is that they are targeting organizations like yours that are there to help women, and yet they're using vandalism and extremism, doing whatever they can to shut down your organizations and like organizations when you're there to help the women, that they're complaining that nobody's there to help.
Well, I think it demonstrates that they're still pursuing Margaret Sanger's vision of destroying children. They're not about protecting women. They're not about providing women with increased access to health care. They're not about increasing women's reproductive health care. They're only about abortion. And abortion is this: the separation of a healthy mother from a healthy child for the express purpose of destroying the child. Everything else is OB care. And that's what Margaret Sanger was all about. She was about the destruction of the child. And that's what abortion is, and that's what Jane's Revenge is all about. If abortion isn't safe, then neither are you. That's what these pro-abortion politicians are all about. The masks are off. It's all about abortion and the destruction of the next generation. We believe as humans that we are made in the image of God and deserving of blessing and protection from the womb to the tomb without partiality. And the government's job is to protect all people equally. And Planned Parenthood and these abortion providers they're criminals. They are directly attacking the weakest and most vulnerable aspect of the population. And our job as believers in particular is to follow in the footsteps of Christ and be the good Samaritan to those who are beaten and left for dead on the dangerous Jericho road of life. The most weak and vulnerable among us are women who think that abortion is their only choice, or the children in the womb whose mothers think that abortion is the only option.
Pastor Jim Harden with us today, president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services out of New York. Just before I go, I want to make sure we get out your website info. Share that with our listeners here across the nation.
Oh, sure. Our website is a derivative of our mission statement, and it's erasing the need, erasing like the pencil, erasingtheneed.com.
Erasingtheneed.com. And friends, you'll find much helpful information there, erasingtheneed.com. This goes all the way to the top of our nation. President Biden, I just saw a headline on lifenews.com yesterday that he is spending more time trying to provide access to kill babies than he is fighting inflation or the tanking of our nation's economy. I mean, it's really outrageous the actions that he has already been taking here to somehow further the work of killing babies in the womb.
Yeah, it really is astounding. You know, he's defaulting on his primary job to protect all citizens under the law. Life, liberty, and truth, happiness is the Declaration of Independence, and that is the foundational document to the Constitution. We are a rule of law people, and and I think the reason why people like Joe Biden are so rabidly pro-abortion and spending so much time protecting abortion is because it strikes at the heart of rule of law. Because if you have to protect all people now because of this document and because of our Judeo-Christian heritage, now they don't have power to control in groups, segments of people. They don't have power to be they no longer are the rule of man. They no longer are the people who get to decide who lives and who dies. And that takes away a lot of power from them.
There are those on the left right now that are trying to push him to declare a federal health emergency for abortion. Are you concerned, Jim, that he is going to do that? Does he even have such authority to do so?
I wouldn't put it past them to think that they have the authority to declare these. It's a propaganda campaign. That's all it is. There's no health emergency. There's hardly ever a moment in the medical history of a woman whereby she gets far enough along in a pregnancy where abortion is required to save her life. It just doesn't happen. Ask any OB doctor. There is no health emergency. The health emergency is that healthcare and medicine is being attacked by politicians. The original Hippocratic Oath said, I will not give a woman an abortive remedy. This is the statement that a doctor would have to take under oath. Mm-hmm. Make sure that he protects both the mother and the child, because the purpose of medicine is to heal and to maintain the health of the patient. And when he's serving a pregnant woman, he's serving two patients. And when the original Hippocratic Oath stated that, they're basically saying the original quackery is abortion. So, yeah, well, the medical community is under attack, and they are under attack ideologically as well as by politicians.
Yeah, and I find it very interesting, too, this speech that he made this past Friday. Just so passionate about a 10-year-old rape victim from Ohio who had to travel to Indiana to get her abortion. I saw fact checkers have not been able to come up with such a person. Could this all just be made up?
It is likely made up. First of all, I would like to know, we all know it's illegal, based on the Mann Act, to transport a girl or a woman, across state lines, who is a victim of a sex crime to cover up that crime. So the question is, who is the criminal? Who is the person that was engaging in that sex crime? And are they being arraigned? What about the abortionists? Are they being held complicit? Who are these people? This is a classic propaganda move, and it needs to be called out for what it is. And I'm glad you're doing it.
Well, friends, you're tuned to Crosstalk here on VCY America, and we're going to be opening phone lines here momentarily, but we're going to first learn what people across this nation can do, because I'm noticing that there is a greater determination than ever to take a stand for life, that those whose centers have been firebombed or graffitied or vandalism committed against, that they're more determined than ever to fulfill the mission that God has called them to take a stand and to be a voice for the voiceless. And so what can people do? We're going to cover that after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Pastor Jim Hardin is our guest, president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services, and their website, erasingtheneed.com. That's erasingtheneed.com. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Having to prove the existence of God to an atheist is like having to prove the existence of the sun at noon on a clear day. Yet millions are embracing the foolishness of atheism. Now from Ray Comfort comes The Atheist Delusion. This 60-minute DVD pulls back the curtain and reveals what is going on in the mind of those who deny the obvious. It introduces you to a number of atheists who you'll follow as they go where the evidence leads, find a roadblock, and enter into a place of honesty that is rarely seen on film. You'll hear the compelling questions that cause them to doubt their atheism. You can obtain one copy of The Atheist Delusion for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Our guest today, Pastor Jim Hardin, the president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services, based in New York. Yes, they were firebombed, as are a number of other centers across this nation here, trying to destroy life. If we can't do it in the womb, we're going to do it other ways as well. If abortion is not safe, then neither are you. I mean, that's the graffitied words that we're seeing that are showing up in various places here across this country. But I hear in your voice, Jim, you're not going to be sidelined by these threats and intimidation coming your way, but you're determined you're going to continue on.
Oh, definitely. You know, we're Christians, and Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for violence to end all violence. That's what the cross is all about. And we're not going to retaliate in kind. We're going to retaliate by enduring.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to retaliate continuing to serve women in their moment of crisis. We're not going to let our crisis hinder our ability to serve women in their crisis. It's all the more important. You know, there's a philosopher named Wittgenstein, and he said, you know, when things get difficult, they're difficult to talk about, it's not thrilling to talk about them, and sometimes it gets downright nasty. But when it's nasty, then it's most important, and it's become nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically pointing to the fact that this is the most important thing we can be talking about today.
Yeah, indeed. As Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, it's recorded, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You go to verse 3, he says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And as you referred earlier, Jim, Jesus said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." I mean, we're on the victory side, and that's certainly the joy, the motivation that continues to give us the drive.
Oh, that is incredibly encouraging. You're right. I was reading earlier about in First Peter, similar to what you just described.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you're blessed. And do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled.
Yeah.
But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you.
Amen. Amen. Well, tell us, share with our listeners here across the nation. No doubt many of them are familiar with actions that have happened near them. I mean, the number of incidents taking place, these outrageous attacks of vandalism and so forth, trying to deter the ability for life. How can people get engaged in this topic? And even I'd like you to address people all over this nation, how they can really partner with their local pregnancy care center and really get behind and support them and be an advocate for them as well.
Oh, definitely. I think there's several things that people can do right now to get involved. The first one is to pray. If you haven't been praying, start praying. If you have been praying, increase your prayers. For people serving at pregnancy centers and other pro-life organizations. Pray for their protection, pray for their wisdom, pray for their endurance, pray for their courage, pray for creativity. All these things are so desperately needed right now. Also, serve. Find ways to get involved. These pregnancy centers need volunteers. They need people, security professionals, and they need people to help them with all sorts of things. Find out how you can get involved there. Also, you can serve by getting involved in the political sphere, by holding political leaders accountable to enforcing the law equally across, protect pro-life people and organizations. Ask your attorney general if there's proactive investigations. Ask your law enforcement or your governor if there's anything that's being done to protect pro-life organizations. Encourage them to. Hold them accountable to it. Communicate. Number one, I think number three, I would say communicate. Communicate the truth of personhood. Go deeper when the principles of the Lord, again, I would say learn and begin to communicate winsomely to your friends and your family and your neighbors. Raise the level of conversation. It's not about an opinion. We're not pro-life because we have an opinion. We're pro-life because of who God is and who we are in Him. We're made in His image, deserving of blessing and protection. We are people deserving of blessing and protection from the womb to the tomb without partiality. And that's government's job. The government's job is to protect all people, no matter who they are and where they are, whether they're in the womb or out. And then finally, I would say, if you have the ability to give, give to these organizations. I mean, we have, for the first time since 1973, we have been given an opportunity to compete head on with a billion-dollar abortion industry. And we're doing it. We're, Compass Care, for example, is going to be giving away the 21st century telehealth tools to reach and serve these women before they travel out of their conservative state to an abortion hub state like New York, and before they go online to get their dangerous chemical abortion drugs sent to them in the mail. I mean, we can serve 900,000 women a year. We have a presence in all 50 states as pregnancy centers, but these abortionists don't anymore, right?
Right.
This is an amazing, amazing opportunity, and I'd say do all that you can to take advantage of it.
Pray, serve, communicate, give. Some practical ways. Friends, let's open our phone lines. If you have a question you'd like to ask of our guest today, Pastor Jim Hardin, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Maybe you're not even aware of the founder of Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger with the very racist ideas that she had and perpetrated and just was against large families. Jim, I understand you have 10 children?
That's right, I do.
And every one of them precious to you and your wife and to society itself. I mean, this is what God said in his word, to be fruitful, multiply, and to fill the earth.
That's right. God has not rescinded that that command. We are made in his image, and humanity is the crown of creation.
Yeah.
I say this, but it's true. There's only two things in this world that are sacred, and it's God and people.
Yeah. Yeah.
God and people. And we have to submit to God and serve him, and we have to sacrificially serve one another. We have to love. What's the greatest commandment? Love thy neighbor as thyself, right? And but love the Lord your God first, because you can't love your neighbor without loving God. And that was, interestingly enough, Jim, that was the question that was asked Jesus. Remember, there's a lawyer that came to Jesus, and he said, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you're the lawyer. You tell me. I'm paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, that's right. Go and do that. You'll be fine. And then seeking to justify himself, the lawyer said, yeah, but who's my neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
You see, Margaret Sanger asked that question, and she came up with an answer. And the answer was, whoever I want it to be. But Jesus answered him with a parable. And he said, he gave the parable of the Good Samaritan. Here's this guy, he's walking down a dangerous Jericho road of culture, and he's beaten and left for dead by these robbers, and the political and religious elite walk by on the other side, and here comes this half-breed, so to speak, this person that's looked down upon by this lawyer, and he stops, and he gives this person all of his resources, his time, his money, everything, to give him his life back. And then Jesus asked the lawyer the question, now, who was a neighbor to this man? And the lawyer says, well, it was the man who helped the other man.
Yeah.
That's right. Go and do likewise.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, look, Jesus is our Good Samaritan, right? He's the one that condescended and saw us beaten and left for dead by our sin on this dangerous Jericho road of life. And he came down to earth, and he gave up his life for ours. And he didn't give us our life back so that we can spend it on our own pleasures. He gave us our life back so that we could go and do likewise. Find the weak and vulnerable of society. Find them as you're walking along the dangerous Jericho road. Find them and give sacrificially to give them their lives back. And the weakest and most vulnerable in society today is a woman who thinks that abortion is her only choice, and a child in the womb whose mother thinks that their only way out is to end the life of her child.
Erasingthenead.com is the website. Folks, our lines are packed. Let's go to them right now. River Falls, Wisconsin. Zach, you're on the air.
Hi. So my question is, with Roe ending, isn't this a gigantic blow to the Democrats' campaign fundraising plans?
Jim?
that's a good question. You know, these politicians used abortion to get reelected time and time again. It was a big frustration, specifically of mine, relative to the Republican Party. I think that they're trying to keep this abortion issue alive.
Yeah.
specifically to get reelected.
Put us back in office, and we're going to stand up for a woman's right to choose. And so it is being used. We're recipients here through news media of many of the fundraising letters that are going out, and they're trying to use the Supreme Court decision as a means to raise funds to keep them in office.
Yep.
Thank you, Zach. Zoltan in Lawrence, Michigan, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a very narrow point or question. If they want to change this exception for rape and incest, I wonder, rape and incest are both already crimes. Have they ever used the DNA profile of the baby to prove that it was incest or that it was the rape? And have they used that information to actually prosecute, or do they just go ahead and say, oh, it was rape and incest, and therefore we're going to flush them?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question.
Thank you. So is there any kind of verification? He's asking that it was rape or incest, where, you know, somebody are looking for that exception to be in any kind of legislation.
Well, that's a great question, and I think that it would behoove the legislature to add things into the criminal justice system to make sure that the abortionists are not complicit in covering up these crimes. I would hope that the criminal justice system is actually using all the resources at their disposal to find these criminals and put them in jail where they belong. But our concern is that they're not currently doing that.
You know, do we already have the matter taking place with cases of rape? When do we kill the innocent party in all of this? I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. You know, why should we punish the child mm-hmm. for the sins of the father?
Dominique is calling next from Aquanico. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for all you're doing. I really appreciate it. And thank you for keeping on. I also appreciate that you brought to the heart of the matter that Satan is after our children.
Yeah.
And I just was wondering if you could just kind of talk about this. I just wonder how this is going to look in a few years, because another way that he's after our children is through these shots. Mm-hmm. You know, these women are having spontaneous abortions from getting these shots, 84% now in the first trimester. And when the shot ramifications actually reside in the fertility aspects of men and women, mm-hmm. I just wonder how these women that are in these protesters and these, you know, Jane's Revenge and all these people that are protesting all this stuff and doing this damage, they don't even know. They might not even ever be able to have a child again, you know, from the decisions that have been enacted. And so if people are having trouble conceiving and carrying a child in these next years, the round, healthy, pregnant woman may in the future be one of the greatest commodities on earth. Hmm. And I was just wondering if you had any thoughts about that.
Thank you for the call. Jim.
Yeah, Dominic, that's a great question. And, you know, there have been, we were concerned about that too. We still are concerned about that. There have been no reproductive toxicology reports regarding the nature of COVID vaccinations in women who are pregnant or may become pregnant. And the lack of informed consent, the lack of information around that, and the promotion of the use of vaccines in the presence of a child in utero, you know, it's just too much of a risk, and quite frankly, ethically wrong. The medical community's job is to make sure that they do no harm. And when you're serving a woman who's pregnant or could become pregnant, you've got to think about serving both those patients and protecting both those patients. So, yes.
Thank you for the call, Dominique. We're going to take a quick break and stay on the lines, folks. We'll pick up more comments and questions following the break here on Crosstalk. Our guest today, Pastor Jim Hardin, website erasingtheneed.com. We're talking about the battle for life. Folks, it's not gone away. It's only intensified. We'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, a caller to my program cautioned Christians about being patriotic, confusing it with nationalism. Let me make something very clear. Oftentimes, the word nationalism can be intertwined with the word patriotism. But you have to understand, there's a good nationalism and a bad nationalism. The good nationalism recognizes national sovereignty, borders, our own currency, our own laws, our own history, our own culture. Then there's the bad nationalism, like Adolf Hitler or Mussolini. The state is of primary importance. Don't confuse patriotism, which is about understanding the Constitutional Republic of America, the laws of nature, and nature's God, and thus saith the Lord, with the bad nationalism. The liberals and globalists want you to do that, so you stop practicing patriotism, the defense of God-given rights and morals.
Friends, you're aware of what the prophet Hosea said. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And isn't it important for us to be informed and to be understanding of the times? And that's why our guest today has said, hey, we need to know what's going on. That's what we're here to inform you of what's taking place. So be informed, then pray about that, then get into service, you know, serve with your pregnancy care centers and ask how can we be help to you. What a joy it would be for some to say, hey, we'll come take care of your lawn service. We'll shovel your walk. We're going to wash your windows. We're going to do your maintenance. We're going to make sure that we cover your heating bill. I mean, all of these things are a way you can serve your pregnancy care center. And then to communicate that truth of personhood, that fourfold response, so powerful, Jim, that people can just take and grow on that as well.
Yeah.
Let's go back. Philip is holding from Washington State. Philip, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Jim, I sent you a book called An Appeal to Heaven for America, compiled by Dr. Chuck and Joe Harding, who are missionaries to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And this booklet covers everything you're talking about. But the important thing is that we need to pray in unison. We need to pray because Christ said, if two or more are praying, I will be there with them. So it's the importance. I have 40,000 people
That's okay, Phil. Wait, we got your point.
40,000 people are praying this prayer. I prayed it this morning. I cried. I weeped.
Yeah.
And this is what we need to do, is pray in unison. So I would like to have you
And you know, I totally agree with you, Phil. And we mentioned a prayer, but don't lessen it. We've got many people who are listening confined to their homes all by themselves, that their prayers are not negated. So whether you're by yourself in prayer, joining together with a prayer group, people in your church, I mean, this prayer is important, corporate prayer as well. So it's not one or the other. Let's do all of it. And I think, Jim, that you made that your first point, the prayer, and that's critically important.
The fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much,
Amen.
It says in James. And we don't want to underestimate that an appeal to heaven, as Philip was talking about, is absolutely critical. We didn't think, a lot of people didn't think that Roe would be overturned. We've been planning for it since 2018, by the way, because we believe, we have faith, specifically for moments like this.
We have Randy in Tomah, Wisconsin. Randy, you're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Jim. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. I know that through a documentary called Myopic 21, the person that coined the phrase eugenics, he was actually the cousin of Charles Darwin. His name was Francis Galton, and he's the one who came up with the whole agenda, you know, and which eventually Margaret Sanger put into action, and. Another thing I wanted to say was that this RU486, the company IG Farben, was owned by John D. Rockefeller, and they actually the ones who it was a company out of France. I think it was called Rousseau-Uclave or something like that, but it was the same company, IG Farben, but a subsidiary of it, I believe. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who are manufactured this RU486.
Yeah. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate you sharing those items. And population control is part of the name of the game here. And we're seeing it even coming down from the World Health Organization here, Jim, and from many different fronts. And from, you know, to Margaret Sanger to Planned Parenthood today, it's all about population control.
It is about population control. If you haven't seen Maafa 21, as Randy pointed out, it is an amazing documentary.
Yeah.
Everybody should see Maafa, M-A-A-F-A 21. the population control issue is what's happening right now. Our population is not replacing itself, and there is no sustainable economic model for a declining or flat population growth. And we need to get back to the core nuclear family, but we can't do that unless we get back to God.
Amen.
We need to understand what it means to be human under God, and the primary relationships within building blocks to society is the husband-wife relationship and the children that they have.
O'Neill is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. O'Neill, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question and a quick comment. Is there any statistics on who's committing the abortion, whether single women or married?
Okay, good question.
Yes. There are statistics on the demographics of women getting abortions. The primary demographic of women getting abortion, in terms of just sheer numbers, is in terms of age, it's about 24. And the demographic in terms of across the country is skewing white. But in terms of percentages, how it breaks out, the black community is getting devastated. There, for example, in New York City, for every 100 live births, there are 100 abortions.
Wow.
Think about them.
Wow.
It's devastating.
Sorry, and he was asking about single versus married. Do we know anything there?
Mostly single, but the trend is drifting toward married. So there's a new shame in our country. The new shame is not that you're pregnant out of wedlock. The new shame is that you're married and you're pregnant with number three.
Wow. Wow. Thank you for that call. We're going to squeeze in one more call. Ashtabula, Ohio, and Gerald, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Book of John, chapter 10, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Roe v. Wade overturned June 24th, the time 10 minutes after 10. 10:10. Check it out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, but Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Thank you, Gerald, for that call here today. We've got less than a minute. Jim, what would you like to leave with the listeners today?
Well, the page has turned in America. We are in a new day, and the abortion battle lines are shifting. They have shifted. And we must remain vigilant to protect all human life equally. We must remain vigilant. I would say this is exactly the moment that God has us for. Everybody in the world is watching to see how Christians are going to respond to this moment in America. And America is a leader. We are a global leader. And this is the time for the church to shine.
Amen. Amen. Jim Harden, our guest today from Compass Care Pregnancy Services. Jim, thank you so much for carving out the time to join our listeners.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And friends, again, the website, erasingtheneed.com, erasingtheneed.com. And again, prayerfully consider, Lord, what would you have me do? And as our guest, encourage you today to pray, to serve, to communicate that truth, that truth of personhood, and to give. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.